But thankfully, we've got God's word, and let me pray as we have a look at Thomas this morning and be encouraged by it. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we do thank you that we do have your word in our hands, that we can read it, and that by your Spirit you give us understanding. And Father, we thank you that we can be taken into to the life of the disciples who were there and saw the risen Lord Jesus on that first Easter Sunday. And Father, all those emotions of joy and fear and wonder, Lord, I pray that we'll share in those emotions this morning. But Father, as we hear again the truth of the risen Lord Jesus who stood amongst his disciples, may we be like Thomas who responds with, "My Lord and my God." So Father, this morning, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to respond in a deep and lasting faith in the Lord Jesus, who has won victory over sin and death for all who believe. We pray these things in his victorious name. Amen. Well, during the week, I was flicking through the TV, no doubt one of those bored moments at night in this isolation, but I came across the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. A great movie, powerful performance by both of them. And I happened to just flick on at the right time because I caught the scene where Andy Beckett, who's played by Tom Hanks, has been given this huge legal case to fight. And he says to the partner, "I appreciate your faith in my abilities." And the partner replies, "Faith, Andy, is the belief in something for which we have no evidence. It doesn't apply to this situation." In other words, Andy's work has proved his ability for the task ahead. But I think this little scene captures so much of how the world thinks today. Many see faith is the belief in something for which we have no evidence. Others are only into facts and not faith. See, if I can't see with my eyes, I don't believe it's real, but can you really live that way? Can you really live just by what you see? See, one way we think today is that science is all about facts, and that Christianity is often set against science is only about faith. Well, I want to say that science and Christianity is both about facts and both about having faith in those facts. Well, let me give you an example. Maybe this is of science. You may think a chair can hold your weight. You may understand that it can hold your weight, but for you to sit down on the chair, you need to believe that it can hold your weight. And real belief will mean actually sitting down on it. See, we live so often not by sight, but by faith. Now, we don't have those thoughts every time we sit on the chair. We just do it. Also, last week, I was speaking to my friend Doug. He's a Qantas pilot, and I love chatting to him about flying and being a pilot, and maybe that's a boyhood dream of mine. And it's really sad not to see or hear the planes at the moment. But I was talking to him about all these people flying home and the virus, and he was explaining about how good the air filters on the planes really are. I had no idea about them, but yet I've always been happy to step onto the plane. See, as we do that, it's an act of faith, isn't it? See, every time you step on a plane, I trust that they'll have enough fuel to get us from Sydney to LA. I don't check to see if they do. I step onto the plane. I trust that Doug, who was well-trained and can do his job and the plane is well-designed, it will take off and land as it should. See, if we only believe what we see, we wouldn't do much in life at all, would we? See, life is about living with faith in facts about something or someone. And Christianity is the greatest fact that you put your faith in. And friends, that is the significance of today. The foundation of the Christian faith is the resurrection of Jesus. And on that first Easter Sunday, that God raised Jesus from the dead to life, never to die again. to demonstrate and to prove and to confirm Jesus did pay for your sin and mine, that our debt has been paid. We have been set free from sin and death. And by faith, we share in Jesus' victory over sin and death now and for eternity. But do you believe that? We haven't seen Jesus raised from the dead. But if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, we are still in our sins without hope. Well, just like Thomas in our passage, I think there is a shred of doubt in all of us at times. Whether you're exploring who Jesus is, doubt is more like unbelief. Or if you've been a Christian for a short time or a long time, there's always a shred of doubt in all of us. So as we think about life today in a world gripped by hopelessness, it's easy for us to have doubts. I see circumstances in our life and times of suffering and grief can lead us to question. Lead us to question God. Is he good? Is he faithful to his promises? Is my hope assured? And that shred of doubt can creep into our hearts and minds rather than trusting God at his word. And so we turn and trust other things. We look within for strength and courage. We look outward to the world for security and hope. And Thomas has his doubts. Actually, it's unbelief. Yet the evidence of Jesus risen from the dead moves him from unbelief to belief. Not just seeing Jesus alive, but a heart response of deep trust and worship as he sees, believes and says, "My Lord and my God." But do we live in light of our faith in the fact that Christ is risen and we are risen with him? Or will you say today and in all things, "Jesus, my Lord and my God"? So let's turn to the facts of the eyewitnesses who have seen the risen Lord. That's what these four eyewitness accounts do for us. Pick up your Bibles. We're going to just have a brief look at chapter 19. Remember, Good Friday, Jesus was crucified on that first Good Friday. He was buried in a tomb with this huge rock with two Roman guards to make sure the body wouldn't be stolen. There's no way the disciples were going to come and take his body and claim that he's been risen. Chapter 20, the beginning of chapter 20, that first Easter Sunday morning, the women turn up, discover the tomb was empty. They see two angels who announce he is not here, confirming Jesus was risen, he is alive. They run and tell Peter and John, and they go to the tomb to discover the tomb is empty and the grave clothes were folded neatly in a pile. But what I want us to look at is to jump to verse 19. It's Easter Sunday night and Jesus appears to 10 disciples and they are scared, because they thought they would end up like Jesus because they followed him. They thought they were going to die as well. But into that locked room, Jesus, the risen Lord, appears. And these disciples who were with Jesus for 3 years, so when Jesus appeared among them in the room, they knew who it was. And what these disciples do is they take us to places that you and I can't go. They take us firstly to the empty tomb where Jesus was buried. They take us to the upper room where Jesus appeared on several occasions. But what I think the disciples do for us is that they take our doubts and our questions. And those doubts and those questions are forced to look into the very eyes of the risen Lord Jesus. And so Jesus appears on that first Easter Sunday night and he says to them, look at verse 21. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." See, and with peace comes hope, for their message will be all who put their trust in Jesus will be forgiven. But do you notice who's missing? Verse 24, Thomas is not there. One of the 11 is not there. And so come to verse 25. So the disciples tell him, we have seen the Lord. There's no way you can hold that kind of news away from anyone. Now, if you were Thomas, how do you think you would react to the disciples' news? Damn, I missed out on all the good stuff. Oh, sorry, I slept in. I lost track of time. I was rearranging my sock drawer. Something as important as that. Now, Thomas could have had so many regrets. I've missed out on seeing Jesus, who is dead, is now alive. But as you read the story, he is not filled with regret. For that would be a sign of belief, wouldn't it? His reaction was total and utter disbelief. There is not a shred of faith in Thomas. Look what he says in verse 25, the last part of verse 25. Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. See, he is just like so many of us. He wants the evidence. He is not going to believe because a group of his friends said they saw Jesus. Now, you would think 10 witnesses would do it for Thomas. Feel the pressure to say, praise Jesus. No way, he doesn't believe. But I'm glad the aim of this passage is to speak to that doubt in all of us. I, like you, have real questions, and Thomas is asking those questions for us this morning. Thomas doesn't just say, if I see Jesus, I'll believe. No, this really is hardcore unbelief. He needs not just to see with his eyes, but he has to touch with his hands. He needs to grab hold of the Play-Doh and play with it like a child would. So he'll only move from unbelief to belief only if he can grab hold of the resurrected body of Jesus. Thomas is so blunt and dismissive. Jesus has only been dead for 3 days. He wants to put his finger in the nail holes of the Son of God and his hands in the wound where Jesus was pierced by a spear. Unless I can do that, I won't believe. Trying to tap into Thomas' thinking of mind here, you only say that if you are confident Jesus is not going to turn up, wouldn't you? And Thomas is not gullible. But Thomas, he should have known better. This is the Thomas who was with Jesus for 3 years. He had witnessed Jesus firsthand, healing every sickness, calming the storm, raised his friend Lazarus from the dead who had been dead 4 days. Even heard Jesus say to him, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He heard Jesus say on several occasions he was going to suffer, die, and in 3 days rise again. And 3 days after Jesus died and rose again, as predicted. But Thomas was like, nope, I don't believe it. He had the reports from 10 mates who dropped everything and followed Jesus, and he would not accept their testimony. Jesus expected him to believe what his friends had said, because Jesus expects us to believe what they saw and said. So that when you hear about the resurrection and all the four eyewitness accounts in the Bibles, when you get to read about the appearance of Jesus to many like we have in John's testimony about the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, then you will know you are required to put your trust in Jesus. Well, Thomas missed out on that first Easter Sunday. But come forward 7 days, he's not going to miss out this time. Jesus could have said, bad luck, Thomas, you had your chance. But again, I think we see an incredible heart of Jesus for this one lost soul. As we know that Jesus cares for the one lost sheep. Have a look at verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. See, Thomas is not going to miss out on anything. And now to the 11 men, Jesus says, peace be with you. See, Jesus didn't come to judge or condemn, but to offer life, to offer forgiveness. And there is the amazing offer of Jesus. No matter how much doubt or unbelief or sin we have, the good news is he says, peace be with you. I want to be friends. We can have peace with the God of the universe, and there is no more important relationship to have peace with than with him. For that peace lasts for eternity if you believe. As we focus on Thomas again, I wonder what was he thinking now? Gee, I hope Jesus didn't hear what I said last week. But Jesus did. Look at verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. But Thomas' reply is remarkable. It's not just belief, it is worship. He responds with, my Lord and my God. The only thing to do when you meet the risen Lord Jesus . But this is serious business that Jesus is doing with the disciples and us. See, there is a rebuke in these words of Jesus. See, Thomas knew these things were to happen. We can read the Gospel's account, and Jesus said he was going to die and rise again. And he says to Thomas, as he does to us, stop doubting and believe. And it's a warning to us. Why is it that we see facts but won't trust it? Well, we hear the truth of the resurrection of Jesus and hundreds of eyewitnesses, but truth is not followed by trust. We listen to the eyewitness account but don't follow through in belief. Stop doubting. Jesus is saying that through me to you now. Stop doubting. And if you are here and you don't believe, come and see Jesus and the offer of life, of forgiveness and peace. Come and trust him now. You don't have to put your finger into his hand or your hand into his side. But if you are a believer, and if in these difficult times you have led you to doubt, hear Jesus' words to you again this morning. Stop doubting him, but believe. Let these facts speak to it and be assured. For Jesus now speaks directly to us who didn't get to see what Thomas and the disciples saw. And that is the gospel about Jesus. See, Jesus turns his attention from Thomas, who does believe, my Lord and my God, to us now. And then Jesus told him, look at verse 29, Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas, you believe because you saw me. Better still are those who hold on to the words of Jesus, recorded by John, a disciple of Jesus, so we can hear them and believe. See, faith comes from hearing the word and taking God at his word, for Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. My Lord and my God. See, friends, Thomas shared our doubt, and now it's time to share his faith in hearing the facts and believing. Jesus is alive, Lord and God, and in Jesus is life. Will you be able to say, Jesus is my Lord and my God? For that is where the evidence of the facts takes us. But the evidence of Jesus risen is not just for us to believe it's true. It's not just something to have knowledge in, but it changes our life. It changes our heart. Yes, for eternity. But I want to say it changes our life now. And I want to finish with these words from the Apostle Paul, who clearly preaches about the present reality of our resurrection through faith in the risen Lord Jesus in Colossians 3, where we are reminded that we are raised with Christ and already seated in the heavenly realms in Christ. See, while this earth is going through chaos and death, while we may live with scars not yet healed and struggle not yet fully restored, Paul says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That means that Jesus is King and in control of all things. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For our faith in Jesus means you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory, our living hope, which we've already sung about this morning. But what does that look like for us now? This might be helpful for putting to death a bunch of dead behaviours, include perhaps being motivated by fear of death and disease and of those who might kill the body. It might help us as we start seeing this, the talk about the battle with this virus that is spreading around the world. We're now starting to turn to the recovery, how we come out of isolation. And the hope is that life will return to normal. So that means we're going to look backwards to what life was, and that is what life is going to be going forward. But what I want us to say this morning, if Jesus is my Lord and my God, we need to think about some of those things that have been stripped away from us, where we put our hope, our security and life into. You know, the good things that God gives us that we turn into idols and our own gods. Are they the normal we want to return to? Or do we need to let those things fall and find out what trust in the risen Lord Jesus will look like, as we now see him more clearly as the things of this world have been stripped from us? And then set our hearts and our minds on things above, on the things of God. So in this isolation, are we taking the time to read God's word and to pray, to love God and to love our neighbour? Are we taking the time to encourage and build each other up in love? Are they the things that we want to see continue into the new normal, into the future? As we look to that future, as we look to coming out of the isolation, will we say, Jesus is my Lord and my God? For if we believe that to be true, will we not say, my will, but your will be done? For Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Do you believe? Friends, this morning, believing in the risen Lord Jesus, who has victory over sin and death, is something not just to have knowledge in, but to let it, by God's Spirit, the truth of the risen Lord Jesus, to change our hearts. To live as people who live in the risen Lord Jesus, who has victory over sin and death. What are those things that we want to let go this morning so that we can walk in victory? The victory that Jesus has won for us this morning. As we, in this silence in your home, as we reflect on this extraordinary weekend, as we move from Good Friday, where God so loved the world, to this Easter Sunday, where we see the power of God raise Jesus from the dead. Has that truth, as the disciples, has brought us into that first Easter, has that truth grabbed hold of our hearts? I pray this morning that we'll respond with my Lord and my God. We'll let those doubts fall and that we'll put our trust in the victorious risen Lord Jesus for now and forevermore. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just pray that you'll steal our hearts now. That as your word has taken us back to that first Easter Sunday morning, that we'll be delighted in the risen Lord Jesus. That we don't have to put our finger into the holes in his hand or our hands into his side. That Father, grant us faith this morning that we may believe even we do not see, that we'll trust you at your word, that you are faithful to your promises. And the Father, this morning I pray that your spirit will grab hold of our hearts and shape it and mold it, so that every corner of our heart may respond with my Lord and my God, in the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead, for he is risen indeed. And Father God, help us in those moments of doubt, as we grip by this uncertain and troubling time. Father, that we may not look back to life that was, but that we'll look back to the cross and the empty tomb, so that we may look forward, Lord, and that we may seek to do your will, that we will be people who truly love you with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and that we will love one another. And Father, I pray this morning that we'll hang on to that living hope, that Jesus' victory over sin and death gives all who believe. Father, give us a fresh understanding of your word this morning. Fill our hearts with joy and with thankfulness that Jesus is risen from the dead. And I pray, Lord, that we will respond with my Lord and my God this morning. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.